The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. You're listening to Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we have racing from Lingfield, Ludlow and Taunton in the afternoon with an evening card at Kempton Park. Sean Quinn, Ross Briley and John Babb will be in the studio from 1:10pm on Wednesday to catch all of that. In the meantime, my name is Sam Norris and Sean Quinn joins me now to take a look at some of the action on Wednesday. How are you today, Sean?
Yeah, I'm well, Sam, and yourself?
Good, yes, I'm in good shape, thank you, Sean. And have a good Christmas, New Year's.
Yeah, nice. Sort of quiet on the celebratory front because, like most racing yards, we were keeping busy.
You've got work to do.
Yeah, but no, it was nice and got time to catch up with the family. But I think, like everyone, you get ready for the end of it as well.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's we had nearly a fortnight of everyone partying and whatnot, and it's nice to get back to normality, as boring as that might sound.
Yeah. We'll just take a quick look at the news then before we move on to some of Wednesday's action. And good to see Chelmsford back on Sunday, and fairly encouraging signs really. 107 entries, $78,500 up in prize money. All seems to be boding well.
Yeah, let's hope that that they get up and running nicely and that they're able to maintain it this time around. Of course, I remember trainers and jockeys praising the facility when it was runners' great lease, and particularly the surface and the contours of the track as well, the layout of the track. It was said that it was a brilliant layout.
Always spoke very highly of, isn't it?
Yeah,
seems to be.
And of course, it'll suit plenty of the southern trainers. So yeah, it's positive on that front. The only thing is, it doesn't change much for us lads up north. We've still got to go trekking down, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Wolverhampton, Lingfield and Kempton have been the places to be trekking to when heading south. But Chelmsford added to the list. It still doesn't gloss over the fact that one is needed in the north.
Mm, yes. Are you planning to send any down there anytime in the near future?
I've seen nothing penciled in the racing calendar, so...
It is a bit far, I suppose, isn't it?
At the moment, it's a no, but... Yeah.
Good for the Newbury yards and stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it'll serve them well. And as I say, it was a very good track as a racing surface, and the layout as Great Leas, and I see no reason why that should have changed during the break.
Yeah, absolutely. And we wish them all the success down there. Just a bit of injury news then, I suppose, before we crack on to the racing. Double Seven ruled out for the season by JP McManus. Would have had a fair chance at Aintree in April.
Yeah, that's a huge shame. Of course, third in the national list this year, and was the anti-post favourite in many places, including with us at William Hill. So, you know, a huge pity. And he was with the man who would have looked after him well and prepped him well for this year's national, I've no doubt, because he's a man who's been there and done it before. Martin Brazel, of course, won it with number six, Valverde, and he probably felt that he'd a horse of a similar ilk in Double Seven. So, huge shame. And shame for his owner, JP McManus, although fortunately for him, unlike many of the smaller owners, he will have other contenders race. So there is a flip side for him.
Yeah, fair enough. And look forward to that come April time then. We'll have a look at some of Wednesday's racing now. As I mentioned, we're racing at Lingfield, Ludlow and Taunton in the afternoon with an evening card at Kempton. And it's Ludlow that's the feature of our podcast. Their card kicks off at 1:30 with a juvenile maiden hurdle. First up, 2 miles the trip, this Class 5 contest. 14 of them line up to contest this. Who's catching the eye here, Sean?
Well, of those that have run, Sam, I think Swivel is the most interesting, and he'll be the likely favourite, won't he, Swivel? He'd very good form on the flat, 97 rated on the flat, had a win at Haydock back in September in a very strong staying handicap. So, you know, he really was a good flat horse and seemed to transfer a good deal of that ability to hurdles last time out when being thrown into quite a competitive race at Christmas at Kempton. It was won by Bivouac. San Benedetto was second. I think they're two very high-class juveniles. Swivel was 12 lengths back in third. But behind him that day, he'd the useful Storm Force 10, who'd run well on hurdling debut. So the race has a bit of substance to it. You'd imagine that Swivel should build on that. And John Ferguson has booked AP McCoy to ride this son of Scirocco. I think he is the one that they all have to aim at. Of those making their debuts, I think John Constable has to rate the most interesting horse in the race. This horse is son of Monjou, of course, sire of champion hurdle winner Hurricane Fly. He's got a very good record with his hurdlers, Monjou. John Constable's rated 92 on the flat. He ran 11 times for Aidan O'Brien and ran consistently in the main, achieving quite a high level of form on a number of occasions. Interestingly, he beat none other than Karazak in a maiden at Navan in May. Now, Karazak has turned into a useful juvenile hurdler. If John Constable can match Karazak over obstacles, then he's going to be pretty good himself. And I'll be interested to see how the betting speaks regarding John Constable on debut. A couple of other debutants to mention will be Ash Kuhn, a former French racer, having his first run for Tim Vaughan, and also Molasses, a filly of Harry Whittington's. Harry Whittington's had a few juvenile hurdle winners this season from only a small string, and Molasses is certainly bred to jump. She's by authorised to, of course, sired last year's Triumph hurdle win at Tiger Roll, so he's doing pretty well with his jumpers authorised. Molasses could be interesting. Mighty Missile shaped okay on debut at Fontwell over 2 mile, 2.5 furlongs. I think the drop back to a dead 2 miles should suit Warren Greatrex, horse, and he should be all the better for the experience. But Swivel's the one they have to aim at. The main danger would rate John Constable.
Okay, fair enough then. Swivel in the opener at Ludlow for Sean. Next up then, we are the next race on the card actually at Ludlow, which is the 2 o'clock. This one, a limited handicap chase, ran over 2 miles. Six runners line up here. Fairly decent looking horses in this field, all distant winners before.
Yeah, and it's quite an open looking race as well, isn't it? Of course, we have a few debutants as well, chasing debutants, having transferred from hurdles. The Whiskey Yankee, the top weight, has been in really good form over hurdles when last seen. Of course, has to overcome a break of 6 or 7 months. But when last seen, he won a useful looking handicap at Foss last, beating Empire Levant. New Year's Eve, another decent hurdler of John Ferguson's. This horse was a winner at Market Raisin last February. People will remember New Year's Eve being a high-class bumper horse. Of course, it was second to Champagne Fever and the champion bumper at Cheltenham back in 2012. After that, it was mooted that he might be the sort of horse to go and hit the heights over hurdles. It never really materialised for him. He proved himself a decent stick, but not a top-class one. He has a rating in the high 120s. And then they've got to concede a little bit of weight to two at the bottom. Sir Valentino, who has the benefit of experience, having had five chase starts now, I think it is, to date, Sir Valentino. And his last two starts have come here at Ludlow, when finishing second and third. He's never been out of the frame at Ludlow, so he's got to be a big player for Tom George and Paddy Brennan. And Venetia Williams, her string continues to go well. Her horse Citizenship, he too has decent form around Ludlow. He was second in a chase behind Hold Court last time out, a beginner's chase. Hold Court, we know, is a horse who likes Ludlow. He's won hurdles and chases around the track, so I don't think he lost anything in defeat that day, and they were a long way clear of the odds-on favourite of Nicky Henderson's Tisdury. So, as you say, this is a hot enough little contest. I'll probably side with Citizenship down at the bottom for Venetia Williams and Aidan Coleman.
Okay, then, Citizenship, the pick in the 2 o'clock then for Sean. Move on into the final race of the podcast. This one, Handicap Hurdle, coming up at 2:30 at Ludlow. Ran over 3 miles this Class 3 contest with seven runners down to go to post. And again, the head, it looks fairly open at the top of the market, I would say.
It does indeed. The horses that head the weights are two interesting horses. We've got El Dancer bidding to overcome a long layoff, a layoff of 629 days. When last seen, this horse was running over fences. And despite the fact that he is a Grade 2 winner in the past, he won the Top Novices Hurdle at Aintree at the Grand National Meeting back in 2009. I think this race might serve as a stepping stone back to him, reverting to fences in the coming weeks, hopefully. Kingsmere is a 10-year-old, but he's been in the form of his life, arguably, the last 12 months or so. And for a 10-year-old, he's still lightly enough raced, particularly in recent years. But whether the handicapper just has him where he wants him at the moment is up for debate. Two others that I prefer to them two would be Voace de Sivola and Masterful Act. Voace de Sivola was disappointing on his seasonal reappearance at Chepstow back in November, but he's been given a 63-day layoff since then, suggesting that they may be tinkered with a few things at home, or that he wasn't quite right after that race. But Nick Williams has gone to the trouble of booking AP McCoy to ride this horse, and I got the impression that prior to that little blip at Chepstow, he was still an improving horse. Of course, he's only had the eight starts to date, and this full brother to Rev de Sivola could still be fairly treated off a mark of 120. Masterful Act appeared a little bit novicey with his jumping at Market Raisin in a novice's handicap last time out. He ran well, though, to finish second behind It's Oscar. He's better known as a Fibersand performer, and whilst he's capable over hurdles, I do think he's better on the flat, and particularly on the Fibersand. So the selection for me here would be Voace de Sivola.
Okay, and Voace de Sivola for Sean in the 2:30 at Ludlow, the handicap herd. If you could just remind us, please, then, of your three best bets for Wednesday's racing.
Yep, no problem, Sam. In the opener at Ludlow, the juvenile hurdle, I'm going to go with John Ferguson Swivel, but I got a lot of respect for the debutante, John Constable. We then move on to the 2 o'clock, the second race on the card, another open-looking race this time, a novice's limited handicap chase. I'm going to go with the bottom weight Citizenship to take him to go one better than he did at the track last time out. And then in the 2:30, I'm hoping that Nick Williams' booking of AP McCoy does prove significant, and that Voace de Sivola can bounce back from a disappointing run at Chepstow last time.
Okay, there we are then, the thoughts of Sean Quinn on Wednesday's racing, and do join us on William Hill's Racing Radio from 110. Sean will be in the studio alongside Ross Briley and John Babb for all of the racing on Wednesday from Lingfield, Ludlow, Taunton and Kempton. Thank you very much for joining me today, Sean, and enjoy the action on Wednesday.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.